こんにちは。
こんにちは。
今日は特別編ということで、はい、ゲストがいます。イエイ。
ようこそ。
こんにちは。
2回目の登場です。結城隆橋さんです。
またまたありがとう。
久しぶりですね。
ん？
久しぶり。
久しぶり。3年ぶりぐらいじゃない？
そう、ね。
そんなだっけ
？2015年の夏だ。
Oh, wow.
うん。
Maybe two and a half
years. Two and a half years.
Yeah.
Wow, it's been a while.
うん。
今は、ハワイに住んでるんですよね。
そう、11月から住み始めた。
なんかフェイスブック見てるといつも違うとこにいるから今どこで何してるのか分かんないっていう感じなんだけど、
うんうん、今回はね、ちょっと長期的に滞在しようかなと思って、滞在っていうかハワイに住んでみようと思ってる、
うん、
もし気に入ったら。
What do you do now?
Now、I found a job half time、for this.
Congratulations.
Thank you. For this organization called the International Lunar Observatory. It's a project that I've been involved in since 2007.
Oh.
Yeah. Hmm. But before I was just on a voluntary basis, but this time it's based in Hawaii and I wanted to live in Hawaii. So I asked them like, oh, could I help out? And yeah.
Is this what you worked on in Scotland, or was
it actually
a different...
it's a similar topic that I did my master's in Scotland.
I remember we briefly touched on the idea of placing a telescope on the moon.
Right. Yeah. So I never really thought that this idea will actually come to more realistic thing. But now I'm actually back to this kind of thing.
I remember, like, last time, なんか火星より先に月みたいな話してましたもんね。
火星はね、遠すぎるから。まずは月。
Okay. So, 具体的には何をされてるんですか？
まあ、ちょっと変わったプロジェクトで、月面にやっぱり望遠鏡を設置して、宇宙を観測。あと、地球も見たり、月面でのこれからなんか月面に基地とかいろいろ活動が起こるから、それを見てみたり、それで、地球に通信するっていうプロジェクトで、でそれをしかも国際的にやろうっていう、
その NASA とか ESA とかみんな一緒にっていう、
そう JAXA も
JAXA とか、
あとそういう政府の機関だけじゃなくて民間の機関も含めて、あと大学とか、
What kind of telescope is it?
It's still in consideration, development, but probably optical telescope, just to be able to. So our boss Steve is like really into the galaxy, the Milky Way galaxy. So he wants to image the Milky Way from the moon, and he thinks that would be very significant. Huh. So yeah, it will be at first optical telescope. We already actually have a prototype built already, a flight.A model that's ready to be sent.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, whenever we have a ride.
なんかそのタイムラインってどんな感じなんですか？
まあそれが難しいところで。まあでも今年か去年来年ぐらいにもしかしたら今契約してる会社ムーンエクスプレスっていう会社とかが打ち上げる。月面に物を送る計画があるからそれに搭載される可能性がある、
じゃあ結構もうすぐ
もしかしたらねでも宇宙のこういうプロジェクトだといつもね来年とかって言ってそれが何年も続くからまあ分かんないけど
そっか
When we talked about it before I think we were discussing a radio telescope placed on the far side
right.
of the moon
Right.
But this would be an optical telescope and where on the moon would it be?
Oh yeahRight. Yeah, so...
On the side we can see?
Yep. Yeah, the radio telescope, that's what I did for my master's. Because, but then it's kind of difficult to do radio astronomy with a small mission because it needs like many elements spaced far apart. And also, like, images from radio astronomy is not as impressive as optical, like, pretty pictures with colors. So we're going to do optical, and it's going to be placed at the South Pole of the moon.
Oh.
Yeah.
Whoa. You're a South Pole.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's that analog as well. And, like, because the reason is from the South Pole, there are places you can... Well, one thing is that you can... get sunlight all the time so that's super important for power solar power and also there anywhere on the moon, on the Earth side, you have constant view of the Earth, so constant communication.
Right. So the sunlight doesn't affect astronomy on the moon the same way because there's no atmosphere, right?
Not as much, right? Right. So still, ideally, the moon, the telescope should be placed inside a crater at the poles.
But that's like, bad for transmission.
Yeah, unless you use a relay, like from the crater to a mountain top and then to the Earth.
Oh.
Yeah. Because there are craters on the moon where it's like permanently dark. I never get sunlight, which is ideal for telescopes.
You can just do all of that automatically, like automated?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So like no one has to go set
right,
it up.
At least for now, yeah. The first missions will be just robotic. But eventually we are planning specifically to have human missions too.
Yeah. Moon.
These craters that stay dark.
Yeah.
I saw some study recently that figured out what percentage of the moon's surface is always dark because of the craters.
Okay.
And it's quite a lot of surface area, and they use that to kind of estimate how much water is there.
Oh, okay.
Because the water stays in these places that remain dark all the time.
Right.
Will the telescope be placed inside of a crater with a relay or just on
the first one, that will make things complicated. So for the first mission, expensive. We want to try to make it as simple as possible so that it actually works. So it'll be on the on a mountaintop, actually. There's a huge mountain, like about 5 kilometers tall, like 5,000 meters tall. At near the South Pole.
That's a huge mountain.
Yeah.
That's a huge mountain.
Well, on the moon, like because there's not as much gravity on the moon, it's easier for like bigger structures to form. Bigger mountains.
Oh, so cool.
Interesting.
すごいね.
Is that one of the larger mountains or are there much larger
ones? I'm not sure.
Because there's like the, what was that thing called on Mars? The Mars.
Oh, yeah.
But it's absolutely enormous, right?
It's a mountain?
Yeah.
Mons? Something like that. Olympus Mons,
Olympus.
Right?
Olympus, yeah.
That could be totally wrong.
Yeah, like no, I think that's right.
Martian mountain?
Yeah, there's this mountain on Mars that's just absolutely enormous. I don't know the actual number, but it's like nothing on Earth is that huge, I think.
Right.
Huh.
Yeah.
想像できないね。実際見たらどんな感じなんだろうって。 Do you want to go to the moon?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so close.
I've been wanting to. Yeah,
it's not
close.
That big of a deal, right?
How long does it take to get there from here?
Traditionally, it's been taking like 3 days to get there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So.
確かに.
Not too bad.
Yeah.
Compared to like almost a year for Mars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
すごい近く感じるね。
見えるもんね。
確かに。
よく見える。
結構よく見える。
Yeah, you. I remember you pointing that out, like if we land humans on Mars, we can see Mars, but it's still kind of just a point,
right?
With your naked eye.
Right.
But if humans land on the moon, there's this thing where everyone can just walk outside and see where on the moon they are.
Right.
You know?
Right.
They're around there.
Right. Know? I think it's more connection, like it allows people to connect more.
Yeah, maybe we should practice connecting with that and then get people on Mars.
Right. 先にね。
Yeah, otherwise it might be too abstract. I don't know.
Maybe.
前の時も見えたの?
Apollo?
Not the people, but
Yeah, but like the ship and
stuff. 望遠鏡でもかなり難しいけど、でも月自体はね、見える。月のその模様のどこにいるかとか、なんか、ハワイだと特に月めっちゃよく見えません?なんかクレーターとか、何模様っていうか。まあ、なんかやだと?っていうか、well, just
from like the city to city というか コーナー見るときに月見るとなんかすごい
It looks more round to me. If you go somewhere where it's really good visibility and you can kind of see the edges of the moon, and the edges are what show you that shows you that it's round, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But when you lose the edge definition and the crater definition in Tokyo, it kind of flattens the...
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. There's less contrast.
I know.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, like, it looks like just a circle. And most people, most city people think the moon is just like a circle in the sky.
Right.
But then, yeah, I know what you say. Like, when you see very clearly... It looks like a sphere.
Yeah.
Actual sphere body. The, and it feels more real.
Yeah, yeah. So
you know, the moon is probably the most impossible thing that any of us see ever. Because when you're on the surface of the Earth, you don't see Earth, right? Mm-hmm. You don't really see... Everything else follows the same rules, more or less. But the moon is just... It's huge. It's just hanging there in the sky. It's kind of... You know, it's really weird, but no one is weirded out by it, right?
Right.
でもなんかさ、見るたんびに違うじゃん。それもすごい不思議で、私結構よく見てるけど、なんかすごい今日近くないみたいな時もあるし、なんか色が変な時もあるし。
But if you ask people what they're looking at, most people can't really tell you how big it is or how far it is or what.
No,
you know,
not at all.
It's just there.
So many people actually don't know much about the moon.
Like, it's so weird that they don't teach more at school about the moon, even though it's, I mean, we can see it with our eyes.
Well, the moon used to be an obsession for a lot of cultures and a lot of religions in the past, but we don't hold that same fascination with it anymore, even though our calendar is based on it, even though...it's linked to our biology in some ways, you know?
Yeah, period.
Yeah, definitely. Which is so, to me, it's so mysterious and interesting.
Yeah,
So where did the moon come from? You know, people have, I've heard this Theia idea. Theia is the celestial body that slammed into Earth. And they thought that the moon was made from Theia, but now they think the moon is made mostly from Earth.
Right. Yeah, I think that's a leading theory. Oh. Like it took out a chunk of Earth that eventually orbited the Earth.
Huh.
But why is it this gray thing?
gray.
It's kind of like shiny. It's kind of like, it seems reflective almost. I don't know if it quite is, but...
Yeah, I think the lunar soil is pretty like whitish, silverish, the color. I guess just the minerals on it.
Yeah.
でもできてる何そのコアの部分は地球と同じ、だから地球からできてるっていう説。
ああ、似てるかな。あと、
Oh, go ahead.
あと月はあのなんかまあ月でもその溶岩とかなんか火山があって昔はそれで溶岩とか流れてたからハワイに行くとそれもこういう月みたいな色だよねそれは黒っぽい灰色っぽい、だからそれ
特に粉はねラーバだらけだからすごいもんね全部ラーバ
So how does a volcanic eruption work in gravity that's that low you knowBecause
actually,
we see volcanoes erupt on Earth and it, you know, it launches rock and material and lava and all this stuff quite high into the atmosphere. They believe the moon was quite active volcanically in its past, right? But it's such low gravity that it's hard to imagine like all these huge moon boulders being launched into orbit. Like where do they land? You know, how far could a chunk go around the moon? I remember hearing a theory that part of the reason the moon is reflective is because of the volcanism put all these particles out into space, and then the low gravity caused them to coalesce into spheres, micro spheres, and then those... fell to the lunar surface, and so the lunar surface dust is actually kind of spherical, and spherical objects are reflective. They reflect light back in the direction it came from. I don't know if that's...
Maybe. I don't know. Never heard that.
じゃあハワイに引っ越してから今4ヶ月ぐらい。Do you like it?
I love it.
いいな。
I love it.
I love
But you go pretty often, right?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Almost every year since I was a child.
Cool, cool.
It's like, it feels like it's my second home. I love it. It's so chill, right?
So, so. Yeah. And I just find the people, like I went to Hawaii...Well, the nature, actually. I just love the nature there and the fact that you can walk around and like find a bunch of things to eat just off of the land.
Yeah.
Like a lot of bunch of fruits. And yeah, so I love that. But then like having lived there for a little while, what I'm liking is the kind of the big family feel. Yeah, people are, it's a big island, but small world. And like...not that many people there, and the whole island feels like kind of like a big family, and people are pretty friendly. Yeah.
Have you been to Waipio Valley?
Oh yeah, many times. Yeah.
I love that. あれすごいよね。あの食べれるものがめっちゃある。なんかそれ東京で育った人からすると結構信じられないっていうか、こんなに食べれる植物。あるんだ。なんかアボカドがあって、なんか変なフルーツあってとか、
オレンジとかグアバとかね、パッションフルーツとか、
もうスーパーいらないみたいな。
Yeah,
running around down there.
You've been there too?
Oh yeah, I drove down there.
あれ怖いよね。
Yeah, and you have to have some skill to drive. Once you get to the bottom of Waipio Valley, if it's rained at all, which it probably has, you're in this crazy mud stuff.
Yeah,
yeah. You know?
So right.
A lot of tourists get stuck down there,
which
is fun too.
And a few months ago, I actually hiked, backpacked from Waipio Valley to the next valley, Waimanu.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Mm.
And then camped there and then hiked back.
There's so much nature on the Big Island. Yeah. So many climates, you know. When you drive across the Big Island, it feels like a time-lapse video, you know? Like, how is the environment changing this fast?
Yeah.
You know, and the fog that you get on the Big Island is just, like, unbelievable. I don't know how people drive through that stuff.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. スクーバもね、コーナーが一番好き。
Yeah, the other day I got to swim with a manta ray. Like I was swimming and found a huge manta ray, and it was like not afraid at all. And I was like within. I could have touched them, and like swam together for like 10 to 15 minutes. It was amazing.
Where did it take you, Atlantis?
It was just like gliding along somewhere. Mm. Like I don't know what it was.
You ever try following a sea animal to see where you end up?
Yeah.
Like I followed a sea turtle snorkeling.
Right.
And they know how to navigate through like the coral and stuff, you know, where the gaps are, so they can help you.
Yeah.
Because sometimes the coral is like so shallow that you're going to get hurt if you try to go through. Mm. If you just follow the turtle, it'll show you which way to go.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the other day I also swam with a turtle, and like I just try to imitate its like soaring, like try to match this motion of the arms, and it was pretty neat.
Does it work? Yeah, it works.
Yeah.
Are you gonna use that from now?
It was not the most. I was not as efficient as the turtle.
Yeah. They look so efficient,
right?
You know, it's
like, it looks like a spaceship or something.
Oh, I'm so jealous. ずっと日本すごい寒かったから。
今度いつ来んの？
ね、もう行きたい。でも来年は行くかな、多分。Are you gonna be there?
Yeah.
I hope we can meet up.
Yeah.
My cousin lives there too.
Oh yeah.
ずっと住んでる。
I have family there too.
Oh yeah.
On the Big Island.
あんなちっちゃいとこなのにね。
そう、なかなかね、いろいろな人がいて面白い。
Actually, my Japanese side has family there.
Okay.
You know, which is kind of weird.
But... Yeah.
I miss the stars more than anything. Yeah. You know?
Stars すごいよね。流れ星めっちゃ見えるし普通に。
Yeah, as many as you want.
Yeah.
そう、あの先週だっけな、あのそのバイリンガルニュースを紹介してくれた千秋さんがハワイに遊びに来てくれて、で、 マウナケアの、まあ、ビジターステーションまでしか行かなかったけど、あの標高2800メーターぐらいの、うん、であの星を見て夜あの初めてね銀河系見た、天の川を見たんだってびっくりした、wow.
そっか、
うん、
You have to go to the top
Yeah
Next time、うん、あそう千秋さんナッツ持ってきてくれたんだよね、ありがとうございます。マカデミアナッツ、
う
ん、ハワイの、
うん、
めっちゃテンション上がる、
美味
しいよね、美味しいよね。なんかいつもね、なんか前に you were in Australia at one point, no?
Yeah, about a year ago.
鳥の保護みたい。
あ、それは Midway。
あ、Midway か。Hey, you're everywhere. なんかその間に今までこう2年半の間何してたか聞きたい。
あ、うんうん。まずは日本から、アラスカに行って、うん。2ヶ月過ごして、
うん、
それしてから、まあ、あの友達 の, あの結婚式のためにナッシュフィル、テネシーに行って、
okay.
でキャンザスシティになんかあの親友がいるから、そこミズーリー、そこで数ヶ月過ごして、
うん、
でその後チリ、アタカマ砂漠、
うん、
で、2ヶ月あたなんか新しい望遠鏡を2つ建設するプロジェクトやって、まあ、でミッドウェイに半年行って、で南極にまた他の基地に、4ヶ月行ってその後、まあ、ニュージーランドをちょっと回ってオーストラリアも回って、うん、でデンマーク行ってスペイン行ってアメリカに帰ってきた。
忙しい。
How was Alaska?
Oh, Alaska was man, the wilderness was amazing. Like we were in the middle of nowhere.Like we picked a float plane. Hmm? Alaska. Well, even Alaskan standards, it was like it was a place there are no roads, and we could only take float planes, like one person at a time, for like 40 minutes, and then we just got dropped, landed on the lake, and it was just like six of us or something, like just.In complete wilderness, I could see like grizzly bears, like,
oh,
and there
are
bears walking around, and like beavers. And
what were you doing?
Yeah,
well, so I was very curious. Well, one thing was I made a lot of friends from Alaska in Antarctica, like, a lot of people who work in Antarctica tends to come from these like places like Alaska, Colorado, and yeah, so.I had made friends and I've always wanted to visit, so I tried to find some excuse to go there. So, and I was also interested in like the fish, like you see like salmon, like sold in stores and things from Alaska, and I was curious like what their lives are really like. I found a job with a non-profit organization in Alaska who like try to increase the population of salmon because like so many fishing happening and like, yeah, so the population gets low. So yeah, and increase the population by in the nature, the eggs, salmon eggs don't survive very much. Like only 10% of all the eggs actually make it through because of other animals eat it or like some kind of disease or something. So like the idea is like take the eggs and fertilize them and then like incubate them in a controlled environment. So and then grow them up until they're like babies and then like release them back into the river. And that way, like, instead of 10%, 90% of them survive.
And that would offset human predation?
Yeah, basically. So I was involved in that. And
that's cool.
Yeah.
That's so cool. You're a vegan?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So...
Wait, so you don't even eat salmon?
No, I don't. Oh. But I wanted to learn...
You're not like, even responsible.
I wanted to learn firsthand, like, you know, like how, like, the lives of these animals who are being sold. Yeah.
そっか。イクラから鮭の稚魚に育てるって結構大変なこと?
結構大変。なんかすごい大きなあの、まあ、工場っていうか部屋であのなんか卵をいっぱい乗せたなんかトレイみたいのがあって、
うん、
で水を常にあの、ね、あの新鮮な水を流してであの結構なんだろうななんかカビっていうかなんかあの病気があって卵を殺しちゃう病気があって、うんうん、それを管理するのが結構大変。
うん、うん、How do you find these projects? You just
that one I like how did I find it? Oh yeah, so from somebody who I knew from Antarctica, like okay. they had worked on something like this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow. すごいね。I've told my husband, like, okay, like, if Yuki Takahashi shows up at my door, tells me that he wants to elope with me, I would go. But if he asks you to go, you should go. Like, I will let you go with him. それぐらい、like, his life is exciting. ずっと言ってて。なんか、ずっとだって移動してる、right?
この5年間ぐらいはね。
うん、ね、
うん。
で、全部違うプロジェクト。なんかね、一回 Facebook で、You posted something. なんか多分鳥のかな。なんか募集してたの。行きたい人いますかみたいな。
ああ、Midway でね。
And、うん、I really wanted to go.
うん、
あそこ I couldn't, but
は最高だった。
ああ、行きたい。
あそこはね、今まで行った中でも一番すごいとこだった。
So what were you doing there?
There, I was volunteering for half a year for wildlife refuge. Midway Atoll is just like.A small island in the northwestern Hawaiian island chain, and it's like about a kilometer by 2 kilometers, a small tiny island. But there are like millions of birds who nest there, including like albatross. And so we were volunteers trying to improve the habitat for those birds.
Okay.
And a lot of our work was like trying to remove, there were a lot of invasive species, plants. Because it used to be a naval airfield of the U.S. Navy, so during the war times, so a lot of people, like as many as at one point, like as many as 5,000 people lived on that island, and so they brought in a lot of things. So those invasive plants would like take over the island, and and it's not.The ideal for these birds, so we try to remove them and then plant the native plants.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
What do you think of the environmental situation on Earth, like the bigger picture, with rising greenhouse gas concentrations, rising ocean temperatures, the Great Barrier Reef is dead or in big trouble.
Yeah.
And there are a lot of other ecosystems that have been impacted as well. Like, what do you think will happen? And is there, how do you look at all of this? Are you optimistic or not really? Or
man, hard to say. Like, I feel so sad about like the corals like dying because I feel like I've seen it even firsthand, like in Hawaii. Like because the first time I went to Hawaii was 2003. And I remember swimming at near Marriott, where a conference happened to be, and like it was amazing. The coral was amazing, and there were manta rays swimming in the daytime, and like, and then like I recently went back to the same exact same beach and snorkeling, and man, all the corals were dead.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
And. Yeah, like everybody
in that, on that Bay beach. Hanauma Bay is kind of like that as well. Hanauma Bay.
Okay.
It used to be, well, it still is a popular snorkeling area in Hawaii. But I went there when I was a kid and it was just unbelievable. Mm. You know, every color, every creature you can imagine.
Yeah.
And then I went again in maybe 5 years ago or something and it was nothing like what I but it was like it had such a big impact on me as a child.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh my God, I'm gonna go back to Hanauma. Yeah. I got in the water, I'm like, what?
So,
where's all the
now they show you videos and stuff right at Hanauma Bay before you go in.
Oh yeah, they've been doing that for a while, but I think it was late.
Mm.
Too late.
Yeah. So yeah, it's like so many people with sunscreens on, like swimming mm-hmm. there, and that kills a lot of the corals mm-hmm. apparently. Yeah. So, and I feel like there are a lot less sea turtles too.
And there's also the plastic issue.
Oh, yeah.
That's crazy.
What do you think about?
Well, I also got to see that like real firsthand because at Midway, so many birds full of their bellies full of plastic.
Like, oh God!
Like you know, so these albatross chicks they just grow up on the ground, and the parents go fly like you know miles and miles, like hundreds or sometimes hundreds of miles to find food, and they often like get things just floating in the ocean and bring back to the child and then regurgitate and feed the child. But yeah, a lot of what they feed ends up like being just like plastic trash, mostly from the fishing boats, because it's the fishing boats who just dump everything, like all their trash overboard on the water.
Yeah.
And so, you find all kinds of like nets and these traps for various fish and squid and things, and then like spacers for oyster farms. And but then like before the baby, the albatross chick fly away, they throw up all the indigestible materials from their stomach to make themselves lighter. And you find like all kind of, you know, bolas?
Bolas?
Yeah, bolas. They look kind of like a little burrito. Burrito, like a brown, like, thing.
What is it?
it's like, so when they throw up like one chunk of stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's like a hairball for a cat.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Uh-huh. But it has like things like squid beaks because they eat squid and like the beaks are not digestible. So but that's fine. But then it also has a bunch of like fragments of plastic and like I've even found a whole toothbrush on the bolas. Oh. And then I've even found like a hypodermic needle.
Oh God.
From the baby's stomach, and then like a lot of bottle caps and lighters and things. Yeah, so it's crazy. And then like so many of the birds die on the island, and on their carcass, like inside the carcass, they're full of like, you know, in one bird I found like 30 bottle caps.
Oh my God.
In the carcass. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It's crazy.
And with a lot of the sea animals, they have, you know, it's a food chain, right? So a lot of these indigestible things are, it'll be in one fish, and then that fish is eaten whole by another sea animal, right? And then it has all of those indigestible things in it as well, right?
Yeah.
And then that thing gets eaten by some bigger thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so you kind of have this trash bioaccumulation or something.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I'm not sure how much like trash, like especially plastic trash fish eat. They probably do, but like
microplastics too.
Yeah, right.
There's
right.
just they're saying that the Earth's ocean is some kind of plastic soup.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah.
It's amazing on the island how much plastic I found. I mean, it's basically everywhere. It's like part of the sand.
If you think about it, you know, it comes from oil, which is normally like pretty secure in the ground, right? So, and we turn it into all this, all this stuff. So you don't have a positive.
Well, you should make it put a positive spin to this. Well, back to more negative. Like, well, in Hawaii, I've done like beach cleanup as well, and there too, like a lot of plastic washes up. But the thing is, like, most of that actually do come from fishing boats. And so I try to encourage like people to like, you know, reduce their consumption of like even fish, like seafood and things like that. So yeah, that's like one way to reduce that all that pollution.
The cruise ships do the same thing as well, right? Many cruise ships dump their garbage into the ocean, you know?
Yeah. Like once you're certain distance away from some shore. Like, I guess there are no rules about dumping.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's illegal, but they still it's do just, it. Nobody it, will catch
yeah.
you.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and they'll do anything to like make it easier for the people. Mm.
Can we fix this? Will the earth be a toxified garbage ball in 20?
It is becoming that way, or? But yeah, if we reduce fishing, I think that's one solution. Mm. And yeah.
Well, they're starting to make these fish farms like in the ocean, right?
Oh, right.
There's
right,
like contained right. fish farms like in the
yeah,
ocean.
Yeah.
Ikesu mitaina koto. Yoshoku to ka ってこと?
Yeah, I'm not really sure how they work, but they're supposed to have really high productivity.
Right. Yeah. I don't know too much about them. It sounds better than like, you know, farming in a pool or something. At least the fish yeah. gets to be in a real ocean. And, but I feel like I would guess that even inside those farms, like they don't have much interaction with other like with corals or other
right.
other fish or and they probably feed them and what they feed tends to be like really bad stuff.
Huh. It'd be better to try to, like you did with the salmon, to try to offset our predation, but within the natural ecosystem, if we can.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Or just reduce the fishing altogether, right?
Right. That would be ideal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 So I've only so since the last time we talked, I've actually stopped eating. Well, back then I was still like, because of my work, I was still saying like okay to. Especially wild caught seafood, like fish and things, because at least they were happy. They had happy lives, normal lives until they were caught. So, but then since then, as of like a couple of years ago, when I went to Midway, I stopped eating seafood too.
Completely.
Yeah. Wow. Because I felt like, man, there's so much like other things that good stuff that I can eat that makes me happy enough and I really don't need to like take someone's life to, you know, for just for yeah that.
スペインのアニモサンクシュアリーの話も聞きたいんですけど、
あれはまあ妹がデンマークでアーティスト・イン・レジデンスでやっててそのまあ、せっかくヨーロッパにいたからで実はそのスペインに行く前にニュージーランドにいてニュージーランドでなんか、ジェントーワールドっていうビーガンのコミュニティがあってそこでちょっと手伝ってて、そこで見た本になんかスペインのサンクチュアリーの写真が載ってたから連絡してみて、そしたらボランティアできるよって言って、だから行ってみて、そこには200-300匹の動物たちがいた、豚とか牛とかヤギとか、なんだ他に鶏、
それをレスキューされた動物ってこと？
そう、いろいろな状況からレスキューされた、犬も猫もいたし、なんか飼い主とかに見捨てられたとか、なんかアビュースされたとか、あと家畜だった動物とか、
そっか。
How do you feel about plants? Like, do you have any kind of special connection with plants, or do you think, because there's been a lot of interesting research lately about plant intelligence and plant networks,
right,
and documenting the ways in which plants are quite animal-like. Like, what do you think about?
Yeah. So yeah, I want to, ideally respect plants as well, because we don't really know much about them, like what kind of feelings they might have, or things like that. But one thing that that's kind of interesting is like plants. What differentiates plants from animals is almost by definition. Animals are like moving. They are able to move, animate. Whereas plants tend to be more stationary. Like, and So because of that, because animals do move, they apparently have more senses of that saves them from getting into danger, like you know, like sense of pain and things, so that they don't go somewhere dangerous, or like they don't do something stupid like we do. And whereas plants, like they just are pretty much stationary. They grow and stuff too, but so they don't need as much pain receptors or anything.
But they found recently that plants have a similar they strategize in a similar way that animals do, and that they make decisions about which way to grow. And so if a vine is on a tree and there could be a branch that's dead, and it might decide not to climb on that branch and climb somewhere else.
Right.
You know, like they've discovered that there's this kind of intelligence in plants. And if you look at, it's called a root apex, but very young saplings, the tip of the plant, when it comes out, the way that thing moves, if you watch it in a time lapse, it's very much like an animal.
Yeah, right.
It's like looking around. It's figuring out where it wants to go, where it wants to look.
Yeah.
You know, they're definitely not inanimate, you know.
Right.
But yeah, they are stationary. It's weird to try to figure out what they're doing or if they want to do anything, you know.
Right.
We kind of I don't know. Yeah. What should our relationship with plants really be? Are they just here for us to like pick fruits off of, or are they?
Oh no, I don't think so. I think they're, you know, all the species are probably there for, you know, not for others. I don't think. I personally think, I mean, there are like people like fruitarians who just eat fruits because they don't want to hurt. Well, I mean, for various reasons, but one reason is like they don't want to hurt plants as well.
Yeah.
Eat plants either. So they just eat fruits who want to be eaten, spread the seeds.
Yeah. あ、そうなんだ。特に、生の。あれ、ヴィーガンになってからじゃ何人年とか。本当のヴィーガンになってから2年ぐらい。2年ぐらい。ベジタリアンなんかね、一人だったらできるんだけど、なんか、この間もね、ヴィーガンの女の人と話してて、彼女はまあ、イギリス人かな?で、結婚して子供いて、自分はヴィーガンなんだけど、子供と旦那さんは普通に肉も食べてるから、自分は料理とかしなきゃいけないみたいな。だから結構難しいんだよね。だから、夫が出張行ってる時は、ベジタリアンなんだけど、帰ってきたら普通に焼肉行っちゃうみたいな感じ。なんか人と住んでるとさ、結構難しいなって思って。みんなどうしてんだろうみたいな。
It's like this footprint issue, you know. Each human being has these externalities that we impose on our environment. And that's not just food, but energy and probably some other things. So some social cost or something. But yeah, there is, you have the knowledge that you're being inefficient or you're being wasteful or taking from your environment. And then that results in some, you know, it messes with your mind a little bit. It's like, oh, I could be doing better. And then you don't feel as good as a human. You don't feel as good about yourself, you know.
なんか多分メッセージで、ちょっと結構前に話したんだけど、前はもう0100みたいな感じで、もうやるんだったら100やんなきゃいけないみたいな。そうするとでも続かなくて、だからもう、ちょっとずつ減らすみたいな。もう牛は家で料理するときは牛は絶対買わないとか、なんかそういうなんていうの、種類を減らすみたいな。You
can buy like used clothes and just not. I mean, you're not someone who has a bunch of marble statues at home or anything like that.
I have nothing actually.
But that's a lifestyle too, you know.
Mm. So that's a for real some people, yeah.
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 Yeah. It seems to me like you're someone who's kind of playing a different. You have different values than a lot of other people. You don't really subscribe to whoever has the most toys wins kind of mentality.
Right. Yeah. No, I still have just one backpack full of stuff, basically.
Yeah. So how are you secure in yourself as like a human being? You know, if you can tell yourself, well, I have a Mercedes and I have this, and then you can always go back to that, right? But you're kind of a nomad almost. You're very mobile. You're very free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at least I was nomadic until I kind of moved to Hawaii recently. And I just feel more free when I have less stuff.
いつでも移動できるみたいな。
You trust yourself, right? Is that what it is? I think you have to be able, you have to have a lot of trust in yourself to live that way.
Yeah. Right. Like, I feel like, you know, you can survive and be happy. I guess, like, yeah, having stuff doesn't really make me happy.
Have you tried it? Dabbled a little, bought yourself a watch once and you're like, I look stupid.
I don't know if I've tried it.
I want to hear more about what you're working on now with this this moon project. How are you guys gonna, when exactly are you expecting this to happen, and how does the thing land on the surface of the moon?
It's gonna land on a, well, we're like contracting with some private companies who are developing moon landers. Mm. So yeah, just pretty similar to Apollo. I mean, just
propulsive land,
retro fire and landing. But because we are trying to land specifically on top of this mountain,
right,
they need more precise navigation technique. Yeah,
it's crazy to think about doing something that precise from that far away.
Yeah, it is. But technologies have improved, and I guess it's possible now.
Apparently,
yeah.
I don't know. I feel like you make it sound easy. Like, oh yeah.
Same as usual. Didn't China landed some vehicle on the moon recently? Didn't they have I think they put like a UV telescope or something.
Yeah,
on the moon?
Yeah. That was like end of 2003, 2004. Huh. They landed a ultraviolet telescope. And it's still operating, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. It's the only telescope that's like operating from the moon or that's ever set up on the moon.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What's the... there are a lot of different frequencies, wavelengths that you could put on the moon.
Yeah.
What's the advantage of UV?
Well, UV, it's with UV you can do surveys by just without having to move the telescope. You can just stare at, for example, variable stars, and that's one, like, that's a good wavelength to study apparently variable stars that changes in brightness, and you don't have to, like, because the moon don't rotate as fast, you don't have to like keep tracking the telescope, which it makes it complicated. And so, and also UV, it's hard to do from the Earth because of the atmosphere. Right.
There are a lot of different images of like space objects that are taken in different wavelengths. And I think generally the public doesn't really know what to make of it, you know, like, okay, like this is an X-ray picture of a pulsar or something, like, like, why are we taking all these images in like these different frequencies? Because you're somewhat familiar with this subject, right? Like the
because by using different frequencies, you can study different aspects, different physics behind what's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. For example, like with For example, with visible light, you like if you've seen the Milky Way, have you noticed there are some dark spots on the Milky Way?
No.
It's not it's not like a uniform disk.
I'm sure there are some.
But it looks kind of like clouds. Like there. Next time you see, like, check it out. Like, it looks like clouds, but it's actually dust that's blocking some of the
visible
light. Yeah, light.
So we can see
the
through the
behind.
Dust.
But with infrared, you tend to be able to see through the dust and study other things. Yeah, for example. Yeah, and X-ray, gamma rays. It's like completely different dynamics, different physics.
It's always interesting when I see those of the, they take a lot of those of the sun, you know, and the sun looks so different, like the structure is completely different depending on which wavelength you're imaging. Why so much interest in the, I know the project you're working on has this focus on the Milky Way, right? Like, what is the special thing that's going to happen here with the Milky Way from the moon?
I'm not completely sure, but our boss, Steve, he really feels that the awareness of our existence, not just in the solar system, but in this galaxy, is like really important to humanity. I think in some ways it does expand our perspective. You know, like not just like, well, the sun and the planets are relatively familiar to us, but the universe is so much more than that. I mean, we are in a system with like hundreds of billions of these stars similar to the sun, and just that awareness, I think, could possibly, like, you know, make people think bigger.
Like we should know our address. Right?
Address. Yeah. Yeah.
So our address, you know, would be Earth, well, Tokyo, and then Japan, and then Earth, and then you're in the solar system, and then the solar system is in the Milky Way, right? But then I guess there's some, what's the arm? Local?
Oh.
There's some, like, the name of
here.
The... that's cheating, but...
Yeah, Orion Cygnus arm, maybe.
Yeah, but there's like a particular arm of the Milky Way that we're in. But the Milky Way is interesting because we can't see it. Well, we can see it, but we don't know what it looks like, right? Exactly.
From outside, you mean?
Yeah, we right. can't image the
right.
the whole thing.
Right.
So will this moon project help us do that, or?
Well. Could well like well it's hard because we are in the Milky Way, so it's kind of hard to get a, you know, outsider's perspective of our galaxy. But
there isn't a mirror out in space somewhere we can use.
No. But as you map the Milky Way in more three-dimensional way, you can probably reconstruct what it's really like.
So-ka.
Yeah, and you can see, like, Andromeda is supposed to be very similar. Andromeda galaxy is supposed to be pretty similar to Milky Way galaxy. And you can see Andromeda, like, you know, it's that neighbor. And you can actually see it with your eyes, too.
Yeah.
It's the farthest thing you can see with your eyes.
People are taking really amazing images of the Andromeda galaxy using very humble telescopes. You know, from their backyard, and there's the new image processing technology with stacking. You know, stacking, so they'll actually take a video of the galaxy with their camera through a telescope, and that will produce thousands of images. They can stack those images on top of each other, and the computer will eliminate the noise from all those images, and then you like put the lens cap on and you take some blank shots, and that removes sensor noise. You can like model the sensor. There's like crazy stuff that people can do now with software. So there are more and more people from like their porch who are taking unbelievable images.
Yeah, that's
of
true.
The
yeah.
Andromeda galaxy.
Yeah. When I was at Atacama Desert in Chile, There was just an amateur astronomer who was like taking pictures by himself, and man, his pictures looked like Hubble Space Telescope pictures.
Wow.
Yeah.
Technology.
Mm. Yeah.
年々値段もね安くなってるだろうし。
ね。
すごいね。
CCD とかね。
Do you think AI will help? Or have you messed with that at all?
No, not at all.
Because they have AI checking atmospheres now for exoplanets. And ranking them in terms of habitability.
Right.
Yeah, like for imaging, I feel like AI might do some crazy stuff soon.
Yeah.
Maybe plug AI into your moon telescope and see what happens.
Maybe. Yeah, I really hope we find aliens.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Definitely.
On the moon at all? Or you
anywhere,
think there's nothing?
Anywhere.
Do you think there are any organisms on the moon or
on the moon? Possible. Because
what about
there's
like underground?
Yeah, possible.
And virus?
Like geothermal, some geothermal microbe thing deep under the surface? Or
possibly, yeah. Possibly.
That would be fun.
Yeah, we should be nice to them if we find them.
So humane.
So
they should be nice to us.
Yeah. Uh-huh. No, I'm thinking like, you know, I like to think of this scenario of if some intelligent aliens come to the Earth and they happen to, you know, like eating us humans. Have you ever thought about that? It's like they might, you know, if they happen to like be hungry and like, whoa, human, like they might try eating all kinds of animals here, like you know, tasting, and like, and they might happen to like humans, and like, so yeah, it's like a special fancy food for them. maybe
and for then, Christmas.
Yeah, and then they might like, you know, want to bring them back to their home planet, and so they might start producing, like, you know, growing
human
us
restaurant.
Humans. No, growing humans in
breeding.
Factories. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So I just want people to think, like, how would you feel if that happens? Like, because that's basically what we're doing to the other animals, because we think, like, they might be less intelligent than us. Like, the aliens might think, like, humans are so dumb.
They're probably right.
Compared to them.
They're probably right.
Yeah, so.
You know, what is, what happens when you have some kind of hierarchy of
right.
intelligence, you know? Is everyone kind of at the whim of those who are more intelligent than them? Is that how the universe works? You know, whoever's the smartest just eats everyone else, you know?
Yeah, I don't think so.
I guess eating food and breeding is different, two different things, right? Or like cows, you just keep impregnating the females to keep producing milk and stuff. Like, that's pretty like horror movie.
Yeah,
ideas.
Can you imagine like if aliens did that to humans?
To me, yeah, like
a woman.
Oh God, right?
But
it's
aliens
crazy.
Must be doing that to their local animal constituencies, right?
Possibly, like, possibly.
Maybe they're all vegans.
I doubt it.
Yeah, they might have realized that they just eat what they need without, you know, hurting others.
なんか、最近あの投資の話、あのリーディングの話、それ聞きたかった。What was that?
あれね、あのなんかハワイで会った友達があのやってて、なんか人間はねみんなオーラがあるんだって知ってる？
いや、あのなんだっけ、 How do you call that? あの字とかに色見える人、
あ
なんか There's a word for it, right? What was the word?
It's not clairvoyant, is it?
Are you talking about synesthesia?
What's that?
Well,
like people who can see colors for certain alphabets and numbers,
yeah, the synesthesia
and people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what your friend is.
They do see colors in not in words, but like
for people.
Like when people talk about some things, they see different colors, and I guess that means something.
Oh,
I don't know much about it.
But this aura thing is something else, right?
Yeah, but to me, like when I went to that session, that was the most interesting to me. Like people have different auras, and you can like actually control the size of the of your own aura.
Hmm.
And by doing that, like if you feel like certain like negative energy from some person or something, like to not be affected by, to protect yourself or to not be affected by it, you can shrink your aura so that, yeah.
So they don't overlap with someone else's aura?
Right.
How do you do that?
意識的にやるみたい.
This is kind of a social, like subconscious social awareness thing that's happening, right? Like our brains are, we have very special mechanisms in our brain to create, to process identities and process faces, process humans specifically. So I think, I mean, that's just my interpretation of the aura thing, but I think everyone's mind, you know, calling it aura helps you just be aware of the phenomenon that your brain is doing, you know.
なんか科学的にもね、あの、例えば恐怖を感じた時に、その恐怖のフェロモンが出て、周りの仲間がそれを感じれるとかって、なんか例えばヘビ見た時に、あのネズミとかもそういうのを出して、仲間のネズミが、あ、ヘビいるなってわかるみたいな。それもまあ、呼び方によってはオーラっていうことぐらい。
そうそう、本当に物理的なものなのか、なんかもうちょっとね、あ、違うものなのか分かんないけど、
面白い
で大きくすることもできる。もしなんか例えばなんかパーティーかなんかで、あのその部屋にいる人たちのなんかなんだなんか状態を把握したかったりしたら、オーラを大きくして、そうするといろいろ感じられるとか。
It's like you can't have anyAura you want, right? It has to be an aura that people would be receptive to. Like a DJ at a party can't just throw on any song he wants.
He has to read the social. 棒をガシャガシャやる、ジャラジャラやる、昔からあるやつ、あれをやって。It's like this. Maybe it's Chinese.
What's happening?
I don't know what they do with it because they told me. I mean, he told us to close our eyes while he was doing it. I don't know what he was. Maybe he wasn't doing anything. I don't know. But でもなんか占い自体はそこまでなんか信じてないんだけど、あの。このこっちの反応によってなんていうか決めてんだろうなと思いながら見てたの、私は。でも結構本当に当たってたから面白いと思った。なんかメンタリスト的な、ある意味こうスキルがあると思うんだよね。そのスペシャル、なんていうの、そのスピリチュアルな能力というよりかは、その人の動きとか言葉とかでこの人どういう人って読む力があるというか、だから結構ね断定して言ってくるの、あなたはこういう人でしょで本当に結構当たってて、あ、すごいと思った。ちょっと
Do you think you're 分かりやすい or not really?
ね、どうなんだろうね、分かんないけど。
I feel like they always get me wrong. 、
oh, really?
They don't know what I am. I refuse to tell them anything, but they don't know if I'm where I'm from or anything, so
そうだ、なんか多分スケプティカルな、それこそスケプティカルなオーラ出してると、あっちも読み取れないから分かんないんだ
よ。そう、
私すごい素直だから、あの、あっちが言うことにちゃんとなんか、ああそうだ、それは当たってるとか言ってヒントめっちゃあげてるからそれはキーだと思った。
How spiritual are you generally? Are you praying or are you doing any, do you meditate or
I'm interested in like I have been interested in meditation. I've tried it since like college, but not as a regular practice at all. I'm still, like, in Hawaii, actually, I'm going to a Zen temple. Daifukuji っていうやつ。So it doesn't.
They have a temple in Kona.
Yeah, yeah. In Kona, yeah.
Oh, I want to go.
So is, yeah. That's not praying, though? That's like
no,
meditating?
It's not praying. It's,
meditation.
How long do you... What kind of meditation are
actually,
you...
I'm not going there for meditation. I'm going for like a little group discussion about mindfulness.
Because
that's one thing I kind of want to work on.
Yeah.
And but at the beginning of each session, for 5 minutes, we do zazen meditation. And yeah. But I don't practice it or anything. And pray, like prayer... when I was little, actually, my mom is Christian, actually.
Oh, really? Oh.
Yeah. So we went to church, like Sunday schools, like every Sunday. And like one time, like when I was in fourth grade or something, I was really into, I loved reading books.
Mm.
So even the Bible, I just read like a book from the first page.
Yeah,
like,
me too. Yeah? The Bible 結構面白いんだよね。
面白いよ。
なんか変な話いっぱいあるから。何の話これ？なんかライオンと戦ったりとか。
そうそう。
Old Testament? Yeah. Or...
Both are pretty fun to read.
So, 4年生の時なんかクラスのあの休み時間に普通に読んでてくれ一人で他の日本だったからさ他の人たちあの他の子供たちなんか全然聖書なんて見たこともなかったから
あそうか、学校はクリスチャンじゃなかった
あ学校は普通
あそうかそうか
How'd you get away from your 4-year-old praying habits?
Oh, I wasn't even praying back then.
Oh, okay.
But when I was about 12, I was like, you know, kind of into it. And like, I was thinking even of getting baptized.
Huh.
But then like, then I went away to high school and like became a little more independent thinker, I guess. And, and yeah, I've always been interested in various religions. I do believe there's like, you know, a lot of things you can learn from each. And so I explored like studying, you know, not just Christianity, but like, Islam and like all kinds of things. So, and I am still interested. And I do believe in that this world is much more than just physical. So there's definitely something spiritual, but I haven't really...you know, experienced. I haven't met God or...
right.
Yeah, not yet, at least.
I haven't met God? So, do you see yourself as... you're kind of passively still on this journey to find what it is about this world that isn't quite physical? But you feel like there's something there, but...
Yeah.
But it's not... It hasn't been elucidated. It's not clear to you...
Right.
...what that is. Right. Whether...So maybe one of these religions is actually true somewhere, but there's so many.
I don't think so.
Or you think that, like, I think that there's some cross-section between all these ideologies where they're onto something. Like, they have the same suspicion that I think you do.
Mm-hmm.
But they've concretized into some sort of fixed thing where the participants are not...in that curious place anymore. You're still in that curious place, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Like for me, like just blind faith is difficult for me.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe partly because I'm like, you know, grew up studying science and stuff. Mm. So I need to like experience it myself. Yeah.
So do you just not believe things right now?
Oh, like I don't blindly believe things. Uh-huh.
But you don't have a belief that would explain the world to you.
Oh, no, no, no. I have, like, various theories and ideas, but no one thing, no. But I am interested. I think we'll find out a lot when we die, because then our physical body will leave our physical bodies and, actually get to experience the non-physical part of the world more.
But...You have to be, you better be right though. Like, if you don't, then if you don't find out anything.
Oh, that's all right too.
Yeah,
then you're gone. So,
yeah.
I guess that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think about that? Like, an afterlife or the possibility?
Mm-hmm.
Let's say, let's say the the universe will exist for billions, if not trillions, of more years, right? Mm-hmm. So as a completely secular and non-religious person, you could have a rational fear of some future technology being employed a billion years from now mm-hmm. that would mess with you or your life or something, you know? Like, if it takes them a trillion years to invent the time machine, it'll still happen the moment you die. Do you know what I mean? You can wait as long as you need to wait while you're dead for something to
mess
with you. Like, bring you back and stuff?
Bring you back or bring back your information. At the very least, there will be extraterrestrials scrolling through your very first Facebook post since you were one of the first humans to be on the internet ever.
Do you fear that, though?
Yeah. Yeah, no.
What kind of stuff are you posting? Yeah. Porn?
No, but think about how many planets there are, how many stars, how big the universe is, mm-hmm. how much time the universe has to mess with you in the future after you're dead, if it's possible at all.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how information works. I don't know where I am. I don't know where. Well, it's just an idea, but I don't know where, you know, if I am not a physical thing, but I am some kind of informational organization, mm-hmm. then there is nothing stopping future aliens mm-hmm. a trillion years from now from bringing me back. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I wouldn't worry. because my theory, which is not based on much, is that our like soul or spirit is something more fuzzy, like a cloud. Mm. Maybe we talked about this, but last time. But like, yeah. So I don't think we'll stay intact for that many years. Like our own individuality. I think it's gonna, you know. 雲みたいになんか他のものと交わっていく。
Yeah, well, I think there's a lot of science that would agree with you that like the only reason why you think that you're an individual at all is because you have this conscious phenomena of the ego. Mm-hmm. And the ego is not a physical thing whatsoever. It's mm-hmm. a perceptual thing. Mm-hmm. But without an ego, you can't distinguish between yourself and your environment. So it's kind of like the, if you didn't have an ego, you'd be the entire universe, right? Mm-hmm. Like that would be your perspective. Mm-hmm. So when you die, it seems to me like your ego is destroyed when you die, but you weren't Yuki this whole time. You were the universe this whole time, expressed in a limitation, and your being is that limitation, and the limitation ends when you die. So right now, this is like the most dead you'll ever be, because once you die, you'll be unlimited. You'll return to being the greater whole again. But from that greater whole, each individual is differentiated, and that's how you're allowed to have anything, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think when we die, we might become more aware of the greater whole. I don't know if we'll become the greater whole, but
You think the boundary is like sustained somehow?
Well, no, it's just as if like our life might be just one drop in the ocean, and it's gonna slowly, like, you know, disperse to the whole ocean eventually, but like it's gonna stay in similar area.
That kind of happens while you're still alive.
Yeah,
I feel like
that too. Yeah,
you know, like right now, you talking on here, like you're shooting off some scintilla of like memes and ideas and values and everything that makes you who you are is kind of rippling outwards into other people, right? And some people respond well. Some people might not respond as much.
I think it's back to that aura thing. Like our auras are kind of like, you know, intersecting.
Yeah, it's like ink in the water. That's what I felt when my cat died. It was kind of like, even the physical body will, I mean, like if you burn the body, it'll be like ashes, and then it'll be spread, and then it'll become millions of other things, right? Like like trees and wind and all kinds of stuff. So that gives me way more peace than to think that we're going to stay who we are in heaven forever. Mm-hmm. Like that's more depressing to me. Like, oh God, like we go to heaven and we have neighbors.
Right.
Oh my God.
Well, so. Heaven, I mean, that's first world problems. You could go to hell. It'd be much worse.
Yeah, obviously, but I'm just saying that even
heaven,
if I...
what a drag. Like, oh, I'm too good for this place.
Yeah, so. I'm going to be burned in hell for the eternity of time. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
That sucks,
I don't
too.
Believe in heaven or hell.
Yeah, me neither. Mm. It makes it easier. I don't know. I feel like to think that there's like my dead grandparents or my dead cat are in heaven looking down on me, or like just to think that maybe like they're regretting that they could have done something, or they wanted to live longer or something. Mm-hmm. Like that really, like, I don't know. That's more painful to think for me,
but
than
if they,
to be like they're just, you know, mingling with the universe
Yeah.
Do you know what
I mean?
I think
even if they, I think even someone dies, I think they can still are able to interact with us, like, in a spiritual way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe that. Mm-hmm.